Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, what better way to get into the fall season than to have a bully session with the business coach? Russell White is back with us today. We get him here basically on a quarterly basis to try to enlighten us. And I'm telling you, this show today, I'm just previewing this, should be mandatory listening for anybody who has any responsibility for employees, because the title of this is pretty straightforward. Leadership expectations with a new generation of employees. And my, oh my, coach, has the world changed?
Have things changed or not? I mean, it's amazing, Lord. Right? Ooh. I mean, in the last 24 months, just think what we've seen in the last 24 months. We've seen a thriving economy with low unemployment turned on its ear into completely different business environment. The government decided in a knee-jerk reaction which businesses were essential and which were not. The government decided that people really no longer needed to pay rent for the last 18 months. And then the federal government decided that, let's pay people to sit on the couch while there are 5.5 million people unemployed, but businesses are reporting that there are 9.2 million open jobs.
Yeah, amazing.
That's just like, how does that happen? So this is how the business landscape has changed in just the last 24 months. With these sweeping government decisions, they're not really a quick fix. I think some of these are going to have some long-lasting. So the mentality toward responsibility, work ethic, and business leadership has forever shifted. You know, we were talking about that with the owner of this substation, too,
right,
previous to this show, how the mentality in the workplace has shifted. So leaders have to also do the same thing. They may need to make some significant shifts to how they manage, lead, and set expectations for the new generation, especially because we have what I call the safety net workforce. Why do I call them that? Because, well, you can leave college, and if you don't like a job or see a job that you really like, just live at home. Let your parents take over your responsibilities. If you have a job you don't really care for, walk out, quit, you know, and the government will take care of you. I mean, this is a safety net that has been provided, and it's not preventing people from failure. It's preventing people from bearing responsibilities and becoming an adult. So this requires a completely different mindset for the leadership and their expectations.
So I guess the first word of advice would be to the actual leader of the organization that what you might say or do could be very damaging.
Oh, I think that's really important. I mean, I think it's really important that leadership can't just say, you know, we'll just go into low production and not force employees to work. I mean, we still have to maintain levels of performance, production, customer expectations. All of that still has to happen. But if you just use the assumptions and the expectations that you had 24 months ago, your business is going to be damaged tremendously.
All right, so let's talk about some of the what you would call damaging expectations from a leader.
Well, all right, let's talk about the first one. Expecting that you've been understood.
I mean, I can't even believe it.
I mean, we laugh, but the fact is the younger employees that are coming into the workforce, they have a completely set of mental models on which to base their work ethic from,
right,
than most small business owners who have been around for, say, a decade or two or three, you know, running their business. And so it's something that they have to be very careful. I mean, the young folks, we were talking about this earlier, too. The young folks coming into the workforce really don't know a time before 9/11.
That's true. I mean, we're going to celebrate the 20th anniversary this weekend.
This weekend. And so the fact that, you know, you think for the two of us, where did that come in our life cycle on where that happened and what we developed and knew beforehand? These folks know nothing before that time. I mean, Y2K is a myth to them.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a myth at the time. We just didn't even realize it. But that's something that people have to recognize, that expecting that you've been understood really doesn't quite connect. I mean, you know, here's the thing that I think we need to do. When we're in a meeting,
we need to make sure that we get the feedback from the people we're talking to. A lot of times we'll be in a meeting and we'll say, hey, did you get what I was saying?
Yeah.
Let's not do that. What we need to do is say, tell me what you heard. Literally ask people in a meeting, tell me what you just heard. They may be distracted on their phone. They may not have been paying attention, or they may have been paying attention, but because of their mental model is different than what mine is, that interpretation is going to be completely different.
And if you don't do what you just talked about, then you're setting yourself up for, how could you not understand what I was telling you?
Well, the whole breakdown is, I thought I told you to do this, and you meant to do that. I give you a real silly example. All right, so someone was making a recipe in a restaurant, and they said, get a box of salt. And that's what goes in there. Well, one person thought a box of salt was the round Morton salt. Another person thought a box of salt was the 5-pound box of kosher salt.
Oh, gosh.
So the recipe fell apart because we made the assumption you knew my expectation. That's why we have to be so clear in what we say. How do we handle customers? How do we handle coworkers? How do we interact with people? The details are being lost because we have become such a surface communication society. It's just soundbite, soundbite, soundbite. And so our expectations that we're being understood is also something we've got to do a deep dive on to make sure that we are truly understood. We're not doing surgery here. We're not talking like hard stuff. But I watch business after business after business deal with major issues that have happened because a leader assumed or expected that what they said was clear and understood.
So this not only dovetails into communication, but to how you would expect an employee to perform. I mean, am I kidding?
No, exactly. I mean, how long have you owned your business?
Well, almost 40 years.
Almost 40 years. All right. Yeah. And you feel that you are very consistent in how you operate day after day after day. When Manning sets a sales goal, when Manning sets a meeting, when Manning sets a conversation with an employee, Manning is pretty consistent because for the last 40 years he has a style. He has built on his mental model of what work is. Yeah, guess what? New folks don't have that. They don't have that experience. They don't share your experience. So, you know, the foundation of work life is vastly different.
More importantly, they don't care about my experience.
Really, we don't. It doesn't matter. Before me. Let's talk about just you and me.
Yeah.
And that is something that we have to adjust to as well, because it's not about your experiences. It's about my experiences and you, the leader, teaching me through my experiences. I mean, once the foundation of work life is vastly different among the generations, so we have to encourage them to ask clarifying questions. So often we say that employees will sit in a meeting and just go, meh. Yeah, okay, sure. Of all generation ages, by the way. And what we need to do is we need to encourage them to ask clarifying questions. We really have got to get them to understand what you really want from them.
Hey, you know, you said something to me a while back that really stuck in my head, that the generation today, as far as, how would you call it, being able to read people and understand people face-to-face has kind of disappeared because they get all their information off the stupid screen.
Well, I think that's, again, we talk about mental model, right?
Yeah.
If I've spent, you and I were long in the tooth before mobile smartphones came along.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas generations today grew up as children,
that's right.
Young children, with a screen in their hand.
True.
I mean, that was something that just became an innate. And so we see there's a lot of research that's being done that the millennial generation is much more comfortable communicating electronically than face-to-face. I mean, I talk to business owners all the time, and they tell me what a stressful situation it is to have face-to-face interaction with customers or having a negative conversation with a boss or a coworker. It's just not innate. It's just not something that they can really wrap around because their experience isn't there. I mean, we used to talk about when I was a kid, the kid that would take his ball and go home, you know, when you were young. Nobody worked through those things, but now all child activities are structured, parental supervised. Kids don't seem to work out those details at a young age. So now we're in the workforce, and it's just easier to put words on a screen than it is to have the fight back. And so I think that's something you've got to really kind of look at. I mean, remember, employees are going to perform to their own standards, not necessarily your standards. So we've got to focus on that. Very, very important that we've got to teach people today what work is. And let me say that again. If you are kind of cutting your training budget or your training time, you're doing a disservice to your employees, your customers, and your business, because we've got to teach people what it means to work. That means being on time, being ready to work when you come to work, controlling your emotions when someone rebuffs you, whether it's a coworker, a boss, or a customer. We've got to teach them how to do that. We ain't even got the skill set that we need to teach them in the job tasks. It's a matter of the work. We can laugh at it. We can get frustrated with it. But the fact is, we've got to be able, as leaders, to teach people what work is. That is an expectation that we need to abandon, that people are ready to come to work. They're 25. They know what work is. We just have to teach them the skill set. Those days aren't here right now.
You know, even this morning on Palmetto Mornings, we had a lady in who was talking about this large job fair that's going to be held down at the Gateway, I think sometime this week, down there at Exit 65. And she very politely said, encourage those who will be coming to please be a little bit more presentable. Like, you know, put a shirt on and tuck it in, you know. Maybe don't wear flip flops.
I'm not going to just throw that on the younger generation, because I fly frequently, and what people get on an airplane wearing, I wouldn't go to my mailbox wearing. I mean, it's a whole philosophy that we are not as focused as we used to be. We are not as detail oriented as far as. Mm-hmm. Respect for other people, I guess, is what I'm saying, and respect for ourselves, maybe. I don't know. I think it's something that, again, an expectation of people know what it means to do their job and to respect people. How we've got to teach that. That lesson has not been learned. And as an owner of a small business, especially, you've got to be ready to do that.
All right. So this expectation disconnect that you're talking about. I mean,
you're having a hard time, aren't you?
I'm going to have a hard time with this one. It's hard for me to think that an employee will not tell you when they think something is going wrong. Well, but what you're telling me here, there's such a disconnect between the younger generation and the older generation that, in fact, that's happening.
We assume that there is common ground when we have a conversation. And the fact is, we don't have common ground. Things have changed so much so fast in this country that we don't have that common ground. So when I say X and you hear Y, it wasn't because you weren't listening. It was because we just don't have that common ground to work from. So when something is going wrong, we would figure that maybe an employee would give us the feedback. You know, just kind of let us know. No, they're going to walk out.
They're going to walk out.
They're just going to walk out.
Walk out.
It's like, I've had enough. This isn't for me. Bye. Well,
it happens everywhere. I mean, we're laughing at it, but it's happening all the time.
But every client that I have has had a situation like this. It's kind of like one of my clients had a significant job opening, and they set up 9 interviews, and 9 of them said they would be there. One showed.
One showed out of 9.
8 out of 9 ghosted my client for an important position. It wasn't a minimum wage job, and it was just like, we just had to sit back and go, all right, how does that happen? Why would someone not tell me they either weren't interested, didn't fit with them? It's the same thing. No notice. But I will also say, I think social media bears a little bit of responsibility on this, because if you go to social media or on TikTok, it's chock full of funny, quote-unquote, exits and boss notifications, how to be cute but not professional. As far as what's going well, they just assume that that's how it's supposed to be, and that is your job to make sure that the job runs smoothly and they don't have a problem. So if you're looking for constructive feedback from your employees, you have to establish that from day one, making sure that they trust you so they will give you feedback. Because if they trust who you are, they believe that you care about the business and them, they will give you that feedback. But you've got to start that from day one. Now, I will tell you that they don't have a problem with sharing what's wrong with your business and working for you on social media.
Well, you anticipated my next question. Is it unreasonable to expect that your staff members, this younger group, will engage and communicate with their coworkers?
Are they working with their friends, or are they working with a stranger?
Oh, Lord,
see, this
here
is
we
very
go.
Interesting, because a lot of people want to work with their friends. The challenge on that is, if they do work with their friends, then everybody gets along. They don't report each other for doing bad things.
What about
things,
making new friends?
But they also will all leave en masse if one person is frustrated. So not only do you lose an employee, but you lose a whole shift for some small businesses. And so I think it's very important that we've got to teach people what human interaction looks like in the business world, not in a social media setting, not in a football setting. I mean, good golly, Manny. Let's go back to how people interact. How many times do we see reports of people fighting on airplanes?
Oh, yeah.
I think every weekend we've had a sporting event. Since football's come back, there is some kind of Donnybrook in the stands. And instead of people trying to get people to stop, they film it with their phone. I mean, it's just an example of how human interaction has changed. Our society right now is so polarized, is so energy-driven, and very emotional, raw emotions at that, because we're all stressed out, that the human interaction isn't happening. So getting employees to engage with customers or coworkers, in some cases, they want to avoid confrontation, so they just shut down. Mm. I'll go in, put in my 8 or 4 or 6 or however many hours I want to work, and then get paid, and then we're done with it. So I think that let me just give you a quick example. It's not just the employees either, it's the customers. I was in a restaurant, and I saw some guy getting angry, and he escalated and escalated till he was completely pitching a fit at a waitress till she was in tears.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this customer was hollering, using wrong language at this waitress, and she stood there crying. Manager comes over. Manager talks to the customer. Customer finally finishes out, and the manager goes, "Sir, we're talking about a sandwich. You didn't just find out you had cancer. We're talking about a sandwich at lunch." And the guy just, he wouldn't catch that it was that minor of a detail. And he continued this whole vitriolic explosion. So if I've experienced that as a waitress, you know, 20 years old or whatever, what is my thought on what work life is like when I interact with people?
Sure.
So that's part of that customer experience that they're seeing from the server side. It is really just, it's a shame. So we've got to teach people how to manage those kinds of situations. And if you don't have that mental model of doing that when you were a kid, it's very challenging now. So expectations of our leaders, you can't just assume people know how to interact.
Well, there's a lot more to this story that we're going to pick up right after we take our mid-program break, and remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. We have new hours Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. But how do we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
You know us, you love us, and if you want us to keep doing the job the way we've always done it, then we need your help. Substation 2 has immediate openings suitable for all ages and skill levels. We offer great pay, great perks, and a fun place to work. Apply inside or online. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 41066.
If you're routinely on the internet, you know that more is better. The more connection speed you have, the bigger the difference in everything you do online. ZipStream from Comporium gives you access to up to 1,000 megabits per second and the ability to stream, search, download, and play online faster than you ever have before. When it comes to the internet, more is better. So visit Comporium.com and upgrade to ZipStream today.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
You know us, you love us, and if you want us to keep doing the job the way we've always done it, then we need your help. Substation 2 has immediate openings suitable for all ages and skill levels. We offer great pay, great perks, and a fun place to work. Apply inside or online. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop with Russell White, the business coach. We get together on a quarterly basis to really go through and expand upon what Russell does every Friday afternoon, all day Friday on WRHI. He has a program, two-minute vignette, called The Business Coach, and it's just pearls of wisdom week after week after week after week that apply to anybody in any position in business. It's just amazing how the world is changing. So we're talking about expectations with a new generation. And boy, are they 180 degrees different from what most people, well, at least my age.
I was going to say, it depends on what age you're at.
Yeah.
Also depends on the, again, the expectation that you have with staff. Now, one thing I do want to make sure that I make clear here, that I see a lot of leaders of businesses kind of throw in the towel also. Why should I train them and teach them? They're not going to be here for very long. Why do I need to spend extra time on developing them for somebody else? The fact is, if you're going to run a successful business, you need to spend the time developing your people, even though it may be a little bit more than you're used to. It may take more effort than it was. Is your business success worth it? Are your customers worth having a positive experience with your business? So I think executives need to recognize that. Make sure you're not throwing in the towel and setting the precedent, well, I don't really care about you because you're only going to be here for a short period of time anyhow.
Well, that person you're talking about who's going to throw the towel in, they're not going to be able to get their businesses to succeed unless they figure out how to work with this new workforce.
Amazing. I read a study recently that said that 72% of employees have no idea what the strategy of the organization is.
Wow.
Nor do they know how what they do contributes to the success of the business. That's 3 out of 4 employees have no idea what they do to help your business be successful. Imagine being a quarterback calling up a huddle and saying, you 3 players, come here, I'm going to tell you the play. The rest of you guys, figure it out.
Whoa.
How can you be successful that way? It just doesn't happen. It is not a game plan for success. So small business owners need to gather their employees in that huddle, let them know what the plan is, so you can get that touchdown, really, and hopefully win the game. I mean, it's very important that we communicate how to be successful, how they are contributing to that business success.
So you definitely want to communicate your vision.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Your vision. You know, we've talked to a couple of business owners recently who said, I have no clue what my vision is because the world keeps changing. I don't know if I'm going to be open, if I'm going to be closed. Truly, we are in challenging times for setting a business, for running a business. However, you have got to set a vision. You have got to be able to live in these crazy, unstable times and let your people know that you do have a firm vision of success for your business. Because if you're floundering, if you're all emotional, if you're like, I don't even know if I can stay open tomorrow, why would I want to work for you?
Yeah, very true.
You know, I mean, I want to be able to be with someone that I trust, that I believe in, that I know is going to do the right thing. So you've got to set your vision, even though it has to be very flexible in these very uncertain times.
And then you got to make sure that they understand how they can contribute to your success.
Absolutely. To the business's success.
Yeah,
I think it's very important that we set aside the small business owner's success from the small business's success, because I've witnessed where a small business owner buys a new car and the mentality is, that's my raise that he's driving now. Huh. He didn't pay me and he's driving this new car. Let's talk about the success of the business that keeps the doors open, that keeps the customers happy, that may get you some bonus, that may get you continued hours. I mean, that's what we want to do. So people want a sense of purpose and a direction on what they're doing. This gives them a sense of purpose and a direction. This is also why a lot of small businesses are getting involved in community activities and making donations, because again, it adds purpose to the employees. So we want to keep them motivated into what they're doing to contribute to your business and what you do with that success.
And I guess you have to really define what victory is all about.
We need to let them know that every day is not wash, rinse, repeat. We need to know what a victory looks like. We need to know how to celebrate a victory for those employees as well. Get them involved. One of my clients got a city recognition for best business. She took 10 of her employees. She opened it up to all of them. 10 of them wanted to go. So she bought a whole table, and the victory wasn't hers. It was everybody's. Those folks now contribute even more. They like to participate because they get to celebrate in the victory.
And then we get down to the bottom line. We got about 4 minutes left about respect. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's one of those words that yeah, maybe we need to make that our Aretha Franklin national anthem there.
You know, R-E-S-P-C-T.
Exactly, because I think this is something that has completely been disregarded in our society. So I start asking people, what are the expectations of respect that you have that's failing? You know, one person told me, slow drivers in the left lane, they're never going to move over. They have no respect. Or, you know, people that will gladly allow you to merge in a construction zone. You know, they're gonna try to pinch you out because one car length makes that big a difference to them. I even heard about people talking about respect for mask mandates. And that brings in a whole new political concern,
good
right?
Lord.
Really, what expectations are is respect. Respect in life and in the workplace. When people are treated with disrespect, their response can be volatility. Like I talked about, the airline passenger situation, the fighting in the aisles. Or people will totally disconnect from society. It's easier to view society through a screen than deal with disrespectful people. And even depressions and low self-esteem, which are on an incredible rise, I think it's because of the friction that we have with interaction. We have an expectation that people will be nice, and we get slammed. And all it takes is that 1 out of 100 people that we encounter to slam us, then we think, well, everybody's lost the respect for me.
And then you talk about setting an expectation versus imposing an expectation.
Oh, isn't that really, really important? You know, we used to have business rules for companies, right? We used to have these business rules, and those were imposed expectations. You will do this. You won't do this. If you do this, you will be terminated. Now, some of those we obviously have to have, because if it's an egregious failure where someone could endanger a fellow employer or a customer. But I think we have to set expectations that are collaborative, that are understood, that people can buy into, instead of just as this is my way or the highway. Those days are way long gone.
And then, of course, you got to be very careful how you communicate those expectations.
Well, I think that's all part of the respect, right? We have so many talking heads in the world today that people are people get to be on TV shows and get high ratings for being loud, for being opinionated, and for disrespecting the opposition, whatever that may be. I think that, you know, everybody has expectations. In today's world, those expectations have a raw emotion behind them. We've got to get past that. When you communicate your expectations for your employees in an engaging manner with complete clarity and respect, your results will improve greatly, and your employees will be a lot happier working with you.
Business Coach, it's been a great half hour. Obviously, all of us need to pay attention to this because we all have a new generation of employees, and we need to know how to deal with them. By the way, again, you can listen to Russell every Friday during the day. Why am I saying afternoon? During the day on WRHI, the Business Coach, and you can find him online at russellwhite.com. That's where he is. If he can help out your business, give him a ring. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, one more time, 6 days a week here at Substation 2, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes. Remember the new hours, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. All right, 1, 2, 3, here's how we do it.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.